This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Thank you, Lucius. We are now through one round of the college football playoff in its new form, 12-team playoffs. You had the home games for the higher-seeded teams this weekend. It was a lot of fun, unless, of course, you were on the losing end of these games, and these were a lot of runaway victories for pretty much everyone, and hated to see the way SMU took that L, but let's welcome in college football Carter Freeman into the program here.
Carter, what's up, guys?
How are you?
I'm great. I actually just saw on Twitter here the TV ratings for the four playoff games. Would you guys like those numbers?
Yes. Let's. I'd like to play a little guessing game.
Okay.
Give me Ohio State, Tennessee as the number one rated game.
That is the number one rated game. Do you have a guess for the number?
I have no guess for the number.
No guess
I'll
for the
embarrass
number.
Myself.
Would that be, let's go with 19 million.
Not quite. 14.3, which is still a lot. Yeah. I believe the SEC championship game got 16 million on ESPN and ABC, so that's pretty comparable for round one of the playoffs. So Notre Dame, Indiana got 13.4.
Of course it did.
And then Clemson, Texas, 8.6 million, and Penn State, SMU, 6.4. So the ESPN game's definitely a lot higher than the games that ended up being on TNT.
Mm, yeah, and I mean those games in the early slate, SMU and Texas were competing with the NFL games that were on.
That's right. Yep, the Friday and Saturday night games both had that time slot just to themselves, so that definitely helped. And I think I don't know if I'd say those. I'd say those are bigger matchups, just because that was 8 and 9, and then 10 and 7 versus the 11 and 12 seeds that played in the earlier games. So
what was your overall takeaway from the weekend? I mean, anything that surprised you?
It's a bummer that the games ended up being blowouts, but if you look at the semifinal games from the 10-year history of the playoff when it was four teams, most of those games were blowouts too. I think what got people so animated this weekend is instead of Clemson blowing out Ohio State or LSU blowing out Oklahoma, it's Indiana getting blown out and it's SMU getting blown out. And
Tennessee getting blown out.
Tennessee getting blown out, which I think that put to rest any talk that Alabama should have been in, because this Tennessee team beat Alabama and then goes on to lose. If they hadn't scored a garbage time touchdown, they would have lost by the biggest point spread of the entire weekend. They scored late, and then SMU ended up having the largest loss of the four. But yeah, it's unfortunate that they were blowouts, but the home crowd's incredible. I think that just watching that Notre Dame game Friday night, like, that is everything you needed to see, everything you needed to watch to say this needs to stay. I would love it if we had more, as in get rid of some of the bowl matchups, keep the games at home going throughout the playoff. But just for this opening round, it's a great reward that on the flip side, you saw some injuries happen with some of these contenders, like Notre Dame loses one of their best defensive linemen.
Yeah, that's
Texas
huge.
Loses their offensive linemen on like back-to-back plays, which I don't know their status going forward, but like...
Yeah, Majors the center. I think that was more of a concussion, right? Is what he was dealing with.
And yeah, because he walked off under his own power right afterwards. Yeah. But and they'll have 10 or so days to kind of recover and get ready for the New Year's games. But
they lost their right tackle too, yeah.
Home field advantage, huge with all these blowouts, but
huge.
You do risk the injury. I do think getting the bye is still definitely what you want as opposed to playing. But if you do play, you're going to get that crazy college atmosphere that we all know and love. And in a playoff scenario, like, fans delivered.
If you're a Texas fan right now, are you more concerned about the way your defense looked, or are you just happy with the way Ewers in the offense, really the rushing attack, got after it?
And they went up against the worst run defense in the college football playoff, and they should have done what they did, and they did what they did. So you have to be happy with that. Watching Cade Klubnik, who had a good season at Clemson,
just got better and better as the season went on.
Yeah. And in this game, too, he got better and better as the game went on. When Clemson had a third and goal on like Texas's 1 yard line late in that game, when they could have made it a one score game again, they ran the ball on third down and they ran it on fourth down, which I did not understand. They clearly didn't watch the A&M film, because that's what A&M did against Texas and it didn't work. That's Texas's strength, is their defensive line. So I'm totally happy with Texas defensive line, but their secondary, they didn't throw a bear in a whole lot. They threw it number five for Texas and he was getting cooked late in that game. So that's a little concerning, but Clemson's going to have better athletes at receiver, I would say, than Arizona State will in the upcoming matchup. And we saw, as soon as that matchup got set, Texas, what I saw, they were a 14-point favorite.
Yeah, they're a big favorite.
So I'm disappointed in the secondary a little bit, because that ended up being the closest game. It was still 14 points. It was still double digits. But there were some things that Clemson was able to do that I don't think Arizona State will be able to do this upcoming game. But then, yeah, going forward, if you go up against, say, an Oregon or even an Ohio State, with what we saw what they did to Tennessee in their home playoff game and the Cotton Bowl here, that would be a lot more concerning.
Ohio State, now collision course, the trying to get some redemption on Oregon.
I cannot wait. I almost, as soon as the matchup got set between Oregon and Ohio State, a classic Pac-12 Big Ten game in Pasadena with the sun setting on the mountains, I was like, how much would I be willing to pay? What time do I need to take off to get out there for this game? Because not only is it just, I love the history of the game, you get two schools that would naturally match up in it if the Pac-12 hadn't collapsed, but
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
This is a de facto national championship game in a way. Like, I know, obviously, Texas is a great team. Georgia's a great team. They lost their quarterback. Notre Dame looked excellent against Indiana. These are probably the two best teams in the country. They were rated 1 and 2 in the polls for most of the year. And they get to play in the best setting in the sport. I can't wait. I know you guys were talking earlier, it's surprising that Ohio State is either favored by 1 point, right, is what I last saw. So
yeah, it's either 1 or 1.5.
So they're favored, but you got to think, going back to that game where they lost to Oregon in Eugene in October, they were driving to win that game. They were in field goal range. Yeah. If, I'm blanking on his name, Will Howard, our Ohio State quarterback, doesn't forget how much time is on the clock, Ohio State could very well win that game. Yeah. And even in that loss, they lost by 1 point. That was a back and forth. It wasn't like they had to storm back. They didn't get down big. That was a slugfest the entire way. And I don't see any reason why, after being battle-tested further after both those teams, after that game for both of them, this game isn't just going to live up to the hype, too.
Yeah, it should be fantastic. I mean, Will Howard just played his best game as...
They threw to Jeremiah Smith. They refused to do it against Michigan, and then on their first drive, they're like, you know what, we've got this 19-year-old kid who's a top-5 receiver in the sport. The second he stepped on the field, let's throw to him. And then, boom, 2 touchdowns.
I still just can't believe Ohio State's opening as a 1.5-point favorite. And we know Ryan Day. This is one of the teams. It's Oregon and Michigan. He can't overcome it.
He's 1-6. I think Ryan Day beat Michigan his first year.
First time, yeah.
He didn't play in the COVID year, and he's lost him every year since. And he's lost to Ohio State twice. But, I mean, it's just with, I think the thing is, people look at Oregon like they're a really good team. They're undefeated. They deserve to be the number one seed. They don't excite people. Even though they are fundamentally sound at every spot on the field, they don't just blow you away with a lot of their tape. So maybe that's why, but they've gotten the job done every single week of the season so far. So I feel like they should be the 1 point favorite, but I'm also not surprised with what we just saw from Ohio State. That's the $20 million team that we thought we were getting to begin the season.
Yeah, supposed to be the best roster in Buckeye history.
Yes, and they finally looked like it against a Tennessee team that was good, had a good regular season, deserved to be in the playoff, and they dismantled them.
What's the outlook for SMU going into next season?
Well, you'll have Kevin Jennings back, and
that's huge.
You can't look at this one game, this one poor game that he played at Penn State as like, you know, they hit their ceiling. I think you look at the ACC as a conference, and Miami's not going to retain Cam Ward. He's mm-hmm. going to the draft, so you don't know exactly what they're going to be. And they fell off at the end of the year, too, like any Mario Cristobal team tends to do. So with Florida State, you know, they had such a bad year. You look at some of the other powers. Clemson's the scary one, because if they shore up that defensive line, I think they're the clear favorite. But SMU has gone undefeated in their conference in the regular season 2 years in a row. They go undefeated in the ACC this year, and they go undefeated in the American last year. This is just a team that competes, and Rhett Lashley, so long as he's there, they're going to compete week in and week out, and they're going to keep winning a lot of games, I think.
Yeah, the ACC is it's open for business, man. Outside of Clemson, like you mentioned, I don't think Miami will be as strong as they were now that Cam Ward's gone. And, I mean, we'll see what Bill Belichick has to say now in the conference, but in year one.
I got to see it. I have to see that work. And the further we get towards the college football as a more pro-style model, maybe a Belichick can work. But how many NFL coaches have we seen come to the college ranks and just not have the success that everyone thought they would?
Let me think about that as I ask you this question.
Lovie Smith was the first one that came to mind. Him at Illinois over the last couple of years. Him wandering around with his gray beard, not having a clue what he was doing.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. How did Penn State get the path that they did?
Because the...
That appears to me to be, how does Oregon as the number one seed have to deal with what they have to deal with? But here's Penn State, host a first round game. Their path appears to be much easier than anybody else's.
Them and Texas was the other one we talked about, playing the lowest seeded
team. I think Arizona State's going to give Texas fits, by the way they run the ball.
Cam Scott, and that's a strength-on-strength matchup. Yeah. That's one of the best defensive lines in the playoff in the country versus one of the most unstoppable running backs in the country in Cam Scattaboo. I got to see him firsthand run all over Iowa State in the Big 12 championship game, and Texas's defensive line is a lot better than Iowa State's, but I've just seen Cam Scattaboo 2 years in a row run like crazy against everyone he's played.
Yeah.
So there's no reseeding with the playoffs. That's maybe something talk about going forward.
Yeah, they have to
do that. With Penn State getting the lowest ranked at large and then the Boise State, the Group of Five team, Boise State earned their keep.
Sure.
Like, they had to win their conference and then have things go around them to get the three, but like it's because we don't reseed things, and you should have confidence you beat whoever you play, or you can beat whoever you play. That's what Dan Lanning was talking about today, one of his press conferences. But yeah, Oregon, they get a tough slate because they get Ohio State, then they get potentially Texas, and then Georgia or Notre Dame or Penn State, whoever from that side.
Yeah, but they're the number one seed.
Fun fact about the Fiesta Bowl this year, Penn State and Boise State, they combined have played in it 10 times. They're 10-0. They've never lost. Neither school has lost that game. So one of those schools will pick up their first Fiesta Bowl loss ever.
Never lost!
Hell of a nugget to close things down here. College football, Carter Freeman. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, top of the hour. Let's go Football's Finest, featuring the best sounds from the football weekend next year in the nation.